Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Yep.
What time is
broadcasting from Cincinnati.
You're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call, ask questions, 323-870-3857. And let's get started with it, man. DAZN, Jaime Munguia versus John Ryder, 12 rounds, super middleweights. Well, John Ryder, a lot of people picked John Ryder, Beeb, in this fight, except me, of course. I picked Munguia. I was pretty adamant about picking Munguia. A lot of people. Oh, come on. Oh, that's corny. Oh, that's terrible, Beeb. Beeb, your sound is off. Gets a pie in his face. Look at that cream all over his face. Go ahead, wipe it off.
I mean, here's the problem.
Go ahead. Yeah, all over your face. Yeah, wipe it off. Yeah.
given the economy right now, I can't in good faith buy a gigantic pie.
I know, right?
I think it would be a mockery to all the people who are struggling out there trying to pay for their groceries.
A mockery?
So that's why we did a small pie here, because we respect
the American people.
The American people who are out there working.
I like it.
And this is why we have to do what we do, man, sometimes.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that, Beeb. That was
good. I know Eric wants to further emasculate me, and he wants me to put like a 12-inch pie in my face. But something about that whipped cream after you put it on your face, it does smell kind of good, man. I like that effect, but I'm trying to put a positive spin on it. I can't do it.
Just got cream pie, son. Look at you. Look at you.
That's horrible, man. Oh, it's the worst.
It is. It really is. It seems like such a simple concept, but it does suck.
I'd rather pay somebody $100 than do that.
All right. If you guys haven't figured out, Jaime Munguia versus John Ryder, 12 rounds, super middleweights. Munguia knocks out John Ryder in the ninth. You know, we talked about this fight for weeks, man. We knew it was going to be a fun fight, and it was. From the get-go, man, these two were really going at it. Munguia knocked Ryder down in the second and fourth rounds. It was clear early on that Munguia was the bigger, stronger guy. You know, I had said this all week. I thought Munguia was definitely bigger, and I think he's definitely stronger. And I get that Ryder was definitely the natural super middle. Ryder's a big guy, too. Munguia is just a bigger, stronger kid, man. It just is. He was able to put Ryder on the back foot as the fight went on, and that's another thing I said all week. Ryder does not fight well going backwards. You take a look at his losses, and this is, you know, quite honestly, and I've said this, man, Ryder was here, right? He was in this fight, and people were picking him based on his reputation for losses. He'd never won those big fights. You guys had put him here on this upper echelon here out of losses. You know, he had lost the big fights, and then he comes here, and he's supposed to, you know, win this big fight, and he didn't even come close. That fight was not even close. I mean, I think I gave Ryder two rounds, but it was...
I only gave him two rounds, too.
Yeah. And let me tell you what I noticed about Munguia in this fight, because I thought, you know, Munguia is the one, you know, we've talked about this, again, for months. And every time we see Munguia, he's such a beatable fighter. Last night he looked good. He didn't get hit as much. He got hit. He's Munguia. He's going to get hit. It's a fight. But he didn't get hit as much as he typically does. And you know what else he was able to do is use his jab and create distance. He was able to box more. He was a superior boxer in there last night. And that's not something I'm really used to seeing from Munguia. You know, you're used to the slugger coming in there and this and that, but that's not him anymore. He's not just a slugger anymore. He looked good. He looked really good. In the last round, Munguia knocked Ryder down again in the ninth. Ryder got up and was floored again by a left hook to the body. And this was really strange. So the commentators were saying that somebody's, I guess the corner was up on the apron. I don't know how the ref didn't see it, but he didn't see it. And as the fight went on, I mean, Munguia's clearly hurt at this point, you know. And the fight goes on. All of a sudden, about a minute something left, and all of a sudden I hear the bell ring. And I'm like, what's going on? And, you know, they had ended up stopping the fight. So I'm not 100% sure who stopped the fight, if it was the commission or if it was Ryder's corner. I think Ryder's corner wanted it stopped from what I understand, but it was an odd kind of stop. But listen, the fight was over. I mean, it needed to be stopped. It probably should have been stopped after that second knockdown. I wasn't, that guy went down again from a body shot, and he was hurt before that. So I don't know why the fight wasn't stopped, but hey, I don't know, man. Beeb, and then I guess, at the end, they're trying to set up the Canelo fight and everything. But before we go into that, Beeb, give me your breakdown of this fight.
Like you said, Munguia is never going to be Pernell Whitaker. He's never going to be Floyd Mayweather, and he's never going to be Willie Pep. He's going to get hit. And his offense pretty much is going to be his defense. If he can keep you on the defensive as the opponent, keep your hands and make him keep your hands in your pockets because he's overwhelming you with volume,
yeah,
then in a sense, that's kind of, being defensive. If he's stopping you from being offensive, then that's a form of defense if you want to really get technical about it. But when you looked at Munguia yesterday, it was more about being measured. It was more about pacing himself. It was more about precision, right? He was very sharp with the delivery of his punches. He was more fluid putting the shots together. And as you said, he really made a concerted effort to set the shots up behind the jab and not just wing away, swinging for the fences with home run shots.
Yeah.
And he varied up the attack. He made sure to go downstairs. And I saw a clip where he had an interaction with Julio Cesar Chavez. And Chavez was kind of coaching him and directing him and kind of giving him pointers, right? You saw in this clip, Chavez was like showing him how to just shorten up the right hand and just throw it and not really pull back on it. He was like,
yeah.
From what I was watching, he was explained to him, just shoot the right hand, just shoot the right hand, yep, instead of pulling back and really, yeah, trying to mollywop someone with it.
You don't need that power when you throw those, you know what I mean? You don't really need the power.
And I did see him being a lot more sharp with the right hand and the way he delivered it yesterday. And that pretty much was the punch that opened everything up for him. Obviously, the jab was there, but in terms of power shots, he was really explosive and precise and really throwing that right hand in a way where it would be hard to defend against because it was such a short, crisp, straight right down the middle right hand. So you could see he's working on his craft. You could see the improvements. Is he ever going to be, like I said, a defensive specialist? No. But again, if he could continue to be more fluid with the offense, if he could be more precise with the offense, if he could pace himself, he could be a very difficult fighter for anyone to deal with. And let's be honest, you can say what you want about Ryder. Before this fight, before the loss to Canelo, he was like a top four or five super middleweight. He lost to Canelo. I would still say he would be around top 8 or 10, right? He beat a legitimate guy yesterday, and he did it in an emphatic fashion. So I'm going to give him credit. I think some of the criticism that not only myself but many have put upon him kind of take a little bit of that away now. Now we can give him more credit. He finally did what we wanted him and hoped and expected he would do in order to legitimize himself as a real contender at this weight class. And at the very least, he's earned the right to be called legitimately a contender in this weight class. after what he did last night to John Ryder, because no one ever did that to John Ryder. You can go back to 2015 when he had that stoppage loss, and if you go back, it was a controversial stoppage. I mean, he didn't even – I mean, he looked buzzed, but it looked like it was a questionable stoppage, and it was a fight that probably didn't really need to be stopped at that time. This was a clear stoppage. I mean, he was being beat from pillar to post. He was knocked down multiple times, and in the last sequence, he was really hurt. So this, you know, was the most definitive loss by far of John Ryder's career. And it was even more definitive than Canelo Alvarez, even though he only won two rounds in that fight and he only won two rounds in this fight. The ending was much more emphatic. And when I'm not going to play that game, oh, well, he outdid Canelo, so that means he'll beat Canelo. No,
it wasn't the same Ryder. I don't think it was the same Ryder.
We're not going to do the same thing that people are trying to do with Benavidez and Plant, trying to make that comparison, because there's a lot of variables in this in fights. As you said, a lot of different circumstances.
Yeah.
But again,
that doesn't work.
Yeah, I give him full credit for the victory. Yeah. He overachieved my expectations. I don't know if he overachieved yours. I know you thought he was going to win. I'm not so sure if you believed he was going to win like
no,
that.
No, I didn't. I mean, I figured, you know, I thought he would win unanimous. I didn't think he would knock Ryder out, but I thought he was just going to walk right over him. You know what I mean? But I tell you, you know, it's funny when you think about Jaime Munguia and all the criticism, and then you hear this guy at the post-fight, and you hear him talk. He's not, like, there's no reason to really hate this guy. You know, I think we hate him because the media, you know what I mean? The way the media does things and the way when you hear Oscar talk about him, it's like, I can't stand Oscar. But he's a really good fighter, and I think he really deserves credit. This is I'll tell you what, this is the biggest win of his career.
Yeah.
By far. And he was in a big fight. A lot of people were picking against him. A lot of people, right? A lot of
people
experts.
People call this a 50-50 fight.
Right. And
I thought it was.
But let me tell you what. Leading into this, did you hear Ryder? And I you know, like I said, I knew that Munguia was going to walk him down. I felt that Munguia was going to walk him down. He's going to be too big, too strong for him. And Ryder's just not going to win this fight. He may not get knocked out, but he's not going to win this fight. But I'll tell you what else, leading into this, that I heard this week that caught me, and I said, there ain't no way he's winning this fight, is that Ryder said, you know, if I lose to Munguia, then I think I need to start thinking about retirement. And let me tell you what, that sentence right there told me everything I needed to know. That sentence right there tells me you have one foot out the door. If you're laying, if this is your do-or-die fight, you know, not to get another title shot, but whether I go on or not, then there ain't no reason to have in this fight. You know what I mean? I knew right then that your mind is already out. You're already looking at that exit side. At very least, you've already thought about it. You know what I mean? That's going to be in the back of your mind when you fight this guy. It's going to be in the back of your mind when things get rough in that fight. And it's going to be in the back of your mind through that whole fight. And as I'm watching this, you watch him get knocked down, and then, you know, he comes back. You watch him in the fourth get knocked down, and then the fight's gone at that point. You know what I mean?
I mean, when you're preparing for a fight, I would think, and again, this is just my opinion. I've heard other fighters say it. I don't even think about losing. I don't even think about what happens if I lose. That's not even supposed to cross my mind. And even if you do think it, you never say the quiet part out loud, right, as a fighter?
No.
You never say that, right? And again, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lambast him for saying it. But again, it, like you said, it does open some eyes, raise some eyebrows. Every time we hear that, it's never good.
Right.
We didn't hear Usyk or Fury say, if I lose this fight, it's going to be my last fight.
You're already thinking about it. And Nando says that he didn't fight like a guy that was leaning toward retirement. Listen, I'm not saying he was leaning toward, but listen, if that's in your head, then it's in your head. You know what I mean?
He said what he said, bro.
Yeah, I can't. Listen, I didn't say it. You know,
we can't erase that from you know, the internet. It's on video. He said what he said.
Yeah,
it's in print and quotations. He said what he said.
Yeah, and that really got me, I think, especially in this fight, because like I said, I didn't think it was going to be a close fight, but when I start hearing, but you know, you think about it, And I think about all the points you made, and I'm like, man, Beav's got a really, he's got a lot of good points about Ryder, and he knows a lot about Ryder. He definitely knows more about Ryder than I do. But the thing is, man, it's just like when I heard that, that was it. That was it for me.
Well,
you know,
he did have the win over Jacobs. That's a legitimate win. He did have the win over.
But Jacobs. But everybody says that he lost that fight. You know.
Yeah, I thought he lost to Jacobs. I had him losing 150
yeah.
and 130.
And again, that doesn't matter.
And to your point. And to your point, on paper, he does have a loss, you know, Caleb Smith, does have a loss to Canelo Alvarez, and I think he lost with decision to Rocky Fielding as well.
Two biggest fights.
So those are three big fights.
Yeah.
So I can't disregard what you said, you know, but on the flip side, then you have the Zach Parker and you have the Jacobs fight, but again, the way he won those fights, it was an even fight. Zach Parker broke his hand, couldn't continue.
Right.
Danny Jacobs, I thought he lost that fight. That was a fight that could have gone either way. He was fortunate enough to get that. So we both had arguments, but obviously your argument was right, mine was wrong. But you can see why this was 50.
Yeah.
You can see why this was 50-50 if you want to be objective and
absolutely
present both sides.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, I mean, like I said, you put this out on paper, you know, you got a guy who's just missing against, you know, top guys, and then you put him here against a guy that may not be that everybody, a lot of people don't picture as upper echelon yet. And how many fights does Munguia have?
I think like
40. Close to 40, right?
Close to 40. I have to go back and look.
Yeah, but I mean, it's close to 40. He
yeah.
should be. Why isn't he more popular? You know, I don't know. I feel like he should be more of a household name, and maybe in Mexico he is, but I don't know. I feel like he should be more popular, and I think it's the criticism that he faces from the people he fights and from, you know, all that. But he's a good fighter. I mean, he really is. He's a really good fighter, and I think a lot of that criticism was deserved, but I think a lot of it should have gotten erased last night. That's what I thought anyway. So after this fight, the rumor is that he's going to be fighting Canelo.
Could be, yeah.
That's the big
opponent. He's been floated out there.
Yeah, him and Charlo. What was the other one? The other Charlo brother, Jermall.
Jermall's been floated out there as well.
Has been floated out there. Which, what in the world? You know,
I can't accept that.
No, I don't think it would be, you know, the other Charlo is bigger, I get it and everything, but yeah, I don't know, man. That would be a tough one. That would be a tough one for me to swallow. Munguia is more the live body in there.
More palatable.
Right, he's definitely more palatable. You got two Mexicans on the card. It's going to be it'll be a big fight. I mean, Munguia is actually from Tijuana, so it's not really a Mexican. It's two Mexicans fighting. I think that's going to be a big deal. Beav, I'm going to ask you right now, does this benefit this fight ever get done?
I think it does. And I think it, at the very least, would have to get done by September. The WBC has said that in March, they're going to order it. That's what they said.
Chaos.
They're going to order it.
They're going to push Canelo around, right? They're going to tell him what to do?
Yeah, at this
just
point.
Just like they told Floyd what to do.
Yeah, at right? this point, you know, I would think that there's so much public pressure to make the fight. I have a hard time.
I mean, is there though?
I think. You're gonna have the diehard Canelo fans. If you go on Twitter, you will see them. Right? He could fight a ham sandwich, and they're gonna be happy with it.
Such a toxic place.
So we know that, right?
Such a toxic
place. And when I go on there, sometimes I lose brain cells.
Yeah.
Right. Then people try, you know, to justify things with their mental gymnastics. Well, this is the reason why they're doing this, the reason why they're doing that. I understand it from a business standpoint. Okay, I understand it from a business standpoint when gas goes up as a result of inflation, right? It goes up significantly. But I don't go out there and say, hey, man, hey, it's okay, I'm paying fucking $5 a gallon for gas. I understand why they're doing it. No, I'm not going to be happy for it.
Right.
Right? I'm not going to one day walk into McDonald's and end up paying $12 for a hamburger and say, wow, I love McDonald's hamburgers.
Love it.
But I'm still not going to be happy paying $12 for it. So, again, this isn't about why trying to explain it from a bit. No, this is about value for dollar, okay? It's about value for dollar. I'm a loser. I'm an outlier. Anyone that wants to use me, well, Beebe, what are you talking about? You buy everything. Because I am a loser. I have a fucking psychiatric problem, okay? Using me, right? I'm the silent minority, right? Using me as an example, first of all, I'm a hypocrite by nature, right? Trying to use me as the standard, raise your game. Raise your game up, okay? Don't use me as an example. I'm the bottom of the barrel in this discussion, okay? Don't use me as, oh, well, Beef, you buy everything. I know, because I'm a loser and I'm part of the problem. And if you do what I do, you have to admit you're part of the problem too. That's it. But I can admit, oh, well, it's still a good card. I still like the fight. Okay, we're not talking about all that. I like friggin' hamburgers, right? I like friggin' Netflix. If I can log into my Netflix account tomorrow, Beebe, we're going to charge you $1,000 a year for Netflix. That doesn't mean Netflix sucks, but I sure as hell don't think it's worth $1,000.
Right.
So when we say these things, it doesn't mean we don't like the fight. How do you know what the value of the fights are? Okay, well, if I'm getting Teofimo Lopez versus Jermaine Ortiz, which is a really good card, really good fight. I got this card yesterday, really great card, right? And then I compare it to cards from the PBC that charge me a pay-per-view price tag, $75, $80, and I'm paying $20 a month or whatever it is I'm paying for DAZN. I'm paying a little less than that. Whatever I'm paying for ESPN and all that stuff, I am getting just as good, if not better, fights from other platforms and other promotional companies and other networks that I'm getting for PBC, and they're charging me a lot less. So that's how I make the determination. That's simple. When Teofimo Lopez fought Lomachenko, he fought Josh Taylor, he's going to be fighting Jermaine Ortiz. Those are all great fights. We got them for free. Inoue for free.
Yeah.
Paying a pay-per-view price to watch Inoue fight. So you see what I'm saying? So that's how I make the determination. Oh, well, what about the Saudi cards? They're not going to do well in the U.S. either. Again.
Don't care.
Those are pay-per-view quality
fights.
Okay? You cannot say when you make the comparison between Joshua and Ngannou, Fury and Usyk, Those are pay-per-view fights because Fury is a superstar, Joshua is a superstar, and Ngannou is very well known in the MMA community.
Superstar.
And even Usyk, is getting very popular in the UK. These are legitimate stars. Keith Thurman has not boxed for almost 3 years. He's coming up a weight class. I love Tim Tszyu, but he's not a star in America. But again, no matter what, again in Australia, right? He's going to always sell pay-per-views in Australia.
Yeah.
Right? So he – it doesn't matter from his standpoint.
Let's switch it up since you brought that up. Go ahead.
Let me just make this finish.
Yeah, absolutely.
How is this a net positive for the sport of boxing when we don't – you want to talk about selling pay-per-views in America, right? Those guys that I mentioned, Fury and Joshua – and Ngannou's already sold a lot of pay-per-views in the UFC, so he's already known. Fury's already sold a lot of pay-per-views here, whether it be from the WWE or whether he fought Wilder, and then he's got the Netflix. These guys have already established. Keith Thurman is not established, and he's never been established. I'm sure he makes a good living, but he's never established himself as a crossover star, and this is not the formula to do that.
Yeah.
That simple.
So since we mentioned the let's actually skip down to the news here real quick. News and rumors, Tim Tszyu versus Keith Thurman on pay-per-view. Now, let's actually, you know what, and I have the card. Let's see here.
A good card. Not a bad card.
But
yesterday was a good card, too.
So this is taking place on March 30th, all right? Amazon Prime Video pay-per-view. So the first card for the PBC that's been announced anyway on Prime, Tim Tszyu versus Keith Thurman. This is in Las Vegas, 12 rounds, junior middleweights. Raleigh Romero versus Isak Cruz, 12 rounds for Romero's WBA welterweight title. Arislandi Lara versus Michael Serafa, 12 rounds for Lara's middleweight title. And then Sebastian Fundora versus Sergey Bohachek, Bohachuk, 12 rounds junior middleweight. Now listen, this is a decent card. It is. It's a decent card, no question. But that's not a pay-per-view card. Not with that main event.
$80.
With that main event. And is it going to be $80? Have we heard?
Well, I got in this discussion with some idiot on Twitter. Oh, well, BBC has done $40 pay-per-views before. Yeah, they did one $40 pay-per-view back in 2022, Luis Ortiz versus Charles Martin. Okay? In the last 2 years, name me one PBC pay-per-view that was being sold for less than $74. Okay, so at the very least, if we're looking at historical data, right, and the trends, I'm guessing this is at the bare minimum going to be $74.99. Right? It's that simple.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're going to have like a couple of fights leading into that pay-per-view also. So there may be, as far as and I can't find where the pay-per-view, if they set up.
They're going to show you. They're going to show you the bottom half of the card for free on Amazon, which is great.
Yeah,
which is great. But guess what? DAZN shows you the whole card.
That's what I do like about DAZN. I will say
ESPN
that
ESPN Plus shows you the whole card.
Yeah,
you don't have to pay premium price to see the whole card
from start to finish. Yep, there.
I'm just keeping things in context here. You know, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but we have gotten just as good, if not better, cards, and we didn't have to pay $74.99 for them.
Yeah, and you know what? That's probably what it's going to be. I mean, I don't know, you know, but that's probably what it's going to be. I would think around the $70 or $80 mark. You know, would you pay $60 for the pay per view?
I'm paying whatever it is. Doesn't mean you're asking the wrong person. That's like asking, I don't want to use this analogy because I don't want to make fun of people that have addiction problems, but
you know where I'm going with it. No, I don't know where you're going with it. Why don't you tell me where you're going with it?
Well, let's not go down that road then.
Why don't we go down? You've already opened the Pandora's box. Let's walk down that road.
That's like saying, trying to sell someone who has an addiction problem. Drugs.
You're horrible. You are a horrible human being. Why would you even make that connection? What's the matter?
When I go to my weekly therapy sessions and we talk about this addiction that I have to use. I mean, there are people in the waiting room that have addiction problems too, and they have, whether it be a sex addiction or a drug addiction. So
sex addiction.
I don't have that problem. But this falls right in line with the addiction problems of just people like me. This is how I go about it, right? I make a comparison to politics, right?
Yeah.
So you have Democrats, you got Republicans, and you got independents in the middle, right? So I'm like one side. There's one side that'll buy just about every pay-per-view, right? Not the diehards. There's another side that no matter what are going to stream every pay-per-view regardless, right? And then you got people in the middle. If you provide them with what they feel is a quality pay-per-view, they'll buy it. But if you don't, they're not. I consider you one of the people in the middle, right?
Yeah.
I'm on the far left.
Right.
I buy everything, and other people are on the far right.
They don't buy
it. So in order to have a successful event, just like in a political election, right, because you know the Republicans are going to have their base, the Democrats are going to have their base, the candidate that wins is the one that can get the independents. This is not a card that's going to get the independent because you're not going to buy it.
No.
And I know a lot of other people who aren't going to buy it either. Okay? So, I mean.
For $80?
It is what it is.
I mean, for $80, that's the card you put out. And again, the undercard, I'll tell you what, and the undercard is a pay-per-view worthy undercard. The problem is, you know, because when you buy it, you know, when you buy a pay-per-view, you know, sometimes the main event is just a good fight. You know what I mean? That's what we buy it for. And then the undercard is just okay. There's a lot of showcase fights and everything. This is a competitive undercard. There's no question. I think it's a good undercard, you know. But that main event sucks. Keith Thurman, I have no desire to see Keith Thurman in there. None. Against Tim Zhu. Tim Zhu is going to wreck him.
And then Keith Thurman's been off for so long. He's been injury prone, right?
Yeah.
And even against Mario Barrios, he didn't look great in that fight.
No. No, he hasn't looked great in a long time.
He hasn't looked great in a long time.
I'm surprised he's still fighting. You know what I mean? Because he fights so infrequently.
It's almost like the guy's semi-retired.
Right.
So,
you know, I mean, this will be a good payday for him, and I get it and everything, and yeah. But, again, it's just not, I don't know.
And then you have these BBC apologists, right? And you got people who are constantly running interference for PBC. But from an objective standpoint, if you're trying to create stars, is it really a good thing to be fighting once a year, once every 18 months, once every 2 years? Is that really the winning formula? And if you're trying to expose your fighters to the right. largest amount of people possible, and then you're only selling 150,000 pay-per-views, whereas if you put it on regular prime, you'd probably triple that audience, or at least at the very least, double that audience, I would think, right? So when you're limiting the viewership exposure and you're limiting the amount of times that these fighters are being seen by the public, in what world is that good for creating future stars?
None.
Explain it to me.
I don't get it either.
Oh, well, they're making enough money where they don't have, again, I'm not talking about the business standpoint, because the oil companies are making money hand over fist. But as the consumer, we lose.
Right.
This formula is not a winning formula for the consumer. And for you sycophants out there on Twitter, on YouTube, on TikTok, wherever the fuck rock you crawled out from under, and I'm going to say it, because you guys are sick individuals. I'd rather have my sickness, because at least I'm a realist. I know there's something wrong with me. You guys are in denial. You actually think this is good for the sport you profess to love. Okay? You're in your own little quantum realm over there, right? You're in bizarro world, right? At least I'm in the real world. I can admit my flaws. You guys can't. You guys are killing the sport.
You're an idiot.
You guys are killing the sport. I'm only killing myself. You're killing the sport. Who's worse? Who's the lesser of two evils? And even I'll still probably walk into heaven because I go to confession and I go to the fucking therapy, so I at least acknowledge I have a problem. You guys are lying to yourself.
Adam Hurley, this is interesting. This is real interesting. He says, I do think if Zou beats Thurman, he'll be fighting Crawford.
Great.
They had talked to Canelo about fighting Crawford, and he says, I can't go down any more than I am now. He said, I can't lose any more weight. And if Crawford comes up, he says, it's not a fight that we really need, because it's kind of like he said, it's kind of like him fighting Gervonta Davis, Crawford fighting Gervonta Davis or whatever, where if he beats him, he's supposed to beat him because he's the bigger guy. And if I beat him, it's supposed to happen because I'm the bigger guy. So it doesn't sound like they're any Canelo Crawford. I think that would be a huge fight, though. I really do. I mean, from a fan's perspective, it'll be huge.
I'll be honest with you. They want that fight, from what I'm being told.
Really?
They really want that fight. They're trying to... There have been talking. Nothing's been concrete, but there have been discussions for that fight. I think we'll probably get that after this one. I would not be shocked if we get that. Right? This is no knock on Tim Zou. This is no knock on Tim Zou, because Tim Zou already has a promoter in Australia. He's already set up in Australia. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's staying busy. Right? He's staying busy.
Yeah.
He's trying to get exposure in America, right? Now you could say, well, Bebo, how's he going to get? Again, at least he's fighting in America, right? If he was to just fight exclusively in Australia and continue to go down that route, right, he would not get mainstream global exposure. This is a step in the right direction. Yeah. With Crawford, he will get, I think his profile will increase here in America. You know, this is, and again, the American market is still a great market that you would want to get, because everything, we have the largest economy in the world, a and I'm not proud to say this, but our pay-per-views and our ticket prices over here are five times more than just about everyone else's in the boxing stratosphere. Right?
So we
have the largest market in terms of economically. When someone sells 94,000 tickets in the UK, it doesn't generate the same gate as Floyd Mayweather 15, or Canelo Alvarez.
Selling out
15,000 to 16,000 here, because again, our ticket prices are crazy.
Yeah.
Golovkin Canelo, people were paying $5,000 for a ringside seat.
It's ridiculous.
This is a market. This is a good market that you would want to get.
Yeah. Tickets for all events, though, have gone up crazy. I mean, you look at the playoff games, the NFL playoffs, the NBA playoffs. I mean, you've seen Boston and everything. I mean,
yeah,
how expensive those tickets are. I mean, it's insane.
Let me ask you this. Here's another ridiculous argument. Who's going to buy the pay-per-view when it starts at 2 in the afternoon or 3 in the afternoon? Okay, but think about this. Would you rather watch a main event at 7 o'clock?
Right.
Or would you rather watch a main event at 12:45 in the morning?
That's what it was last night, wasn't it? It was so late, you know?
Can I tell you the truth? I fell asleep, and I kept waking up.
Yeah.
I had to go back and watch the two of the fights again this morning because I fell asleep. I fell asleep, and I woke up I think in the seventh round in the Ryder fight. I missed the co-main entirely, and I had to go back and watch it.
This morning.
I only heard the result.
It's too late.
I fall asleep. I'm an early riser, but yeah. Most people on the East Coast do not enjoy watching the main event at 1 o'clock in the morning.
No.
What time is the Super Bowl start?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. So again, you guys are going to come. The ridiculousness of these people talking and making arguments for PBC here. Like, you guys really enjoy, and even people on the West Coast, you're going to be watching the main event at 11 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, 10:30, whatever. You guys like that? Or would you rather watch it 6, 7 o'clock?
Yeah. What
are we doing here? What are we doing here?
Well, you know,
trying to fucking like justify this shit.
Well, think about it. In like Las Vegas or on the West Coast, when these fights take place at 12 and 1 in the afternoon, I mean they're watching it at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, 7, 8 o'clock. That's the main event.
We have the worst boxing fans in the world, man. And I'm going to stand on that. I get a lot of pushback. Oh, there's a lot of bad. No, we have the worst boxing fans in the world.
For sure.
You do.
Without question. I don't think there's any question on that.
UK, I love the UK for the way they appreciate their fighters. They're the best, by far the best boxing fans in the world. And Mexican boxing fans are not too far behind as well.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, let's talk about this Isak Cruz-Wally Romero fight because a couple of things. Number one, I think Isak Cruz is going to get rolled in this fight just because he has not looked anywhere near what he looked like.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
That's right. He has not looked good since that tank fight.
Yeah.
He hasn't. He has not looked good at all.
He hasn't looked spectacular.
And let me tell you what, I think that he peaked in that fight. I really do. And I think
I'm going to say something.
I think he's lost.
I'm going to say something and I'm probably going to get slaughtered for saying this. I just don't think Raleigh's as bad as everyone says he is.
He's not. He's a good fighter.
About this guy like he's like he has no boxing ability. He can punch, and he does have good, decent boxing skills.
He's a good fighter. He's strong.
I don't think he's a bad fighter at all.
No.
I told you
when he fought Tank, we all picked Tank, but I told you he's going to have his hands full. This is not a walkover for Tank, and he did. He had, and I understand he knocked him out. I get it. But that fight was not easy for Tank.
I don't think Raleigh is trash.
I don't think so either. You called him trash.
I'm not saying Raleigh Romero is Floyd Mayweather. I'm not. okay? But I just don't think he's as bad as everyone. He was winning rounds against Tank. I had him up
yeah.
before he got knocked out.
Yeah. That's it, man. D-Nice.
Again, we're not saying he's phenomenal, but I just don't think he's as bad as everyone says.
Does anybody think Esau Cruz wins that fight? Anybody in the chat think Esau Cruz wins that fight? Raleigh is average at best. I mean, I disagree with that. I disagree.
I think he's a decent fighter.
I think he's
horrible.
Let me tell you
again,
what. He's
not
a contender.
He's not great.
He's a contender.
Yeah.
No question.
He's a legitimate contender.
Yes. C plus B, I think.
I would give Raleigh Romero a B minus.
Yes. C plus B.
And I would pick Cruz. I would favor Cruz. I wouldn't be shocked if Raleigh wins.
Raleigh is winning. I'm telling you, Raleigh's winning that fight.
And I will tell you this. If I can get odds, I'm going to be honest. I edge it to Isak, right?
Yep.
But Raleigh's bigger. I think he hits harder. And I think he's stronger. I think he can muscle him on the if I can get odds, I have no. I would lay money on Raleigh to win the fight. I think it's, in my opinion, I think it's a 50-50 fight.
Yeah.
No question, Cruz will probably more than likely be slightly favored. And if you put a gun to my head, I would pick Cruz, but I have no problem putting a little money on Raleigh.
No, I don't either.
Not at all.
I'm telling you, and I'm picking Raleigh to win that fight. Raleigh wins that fight. Like I said, yeah. Esau Cruz has not looked good since that Davis fight.
Yeah.
You know, you take that last outing on pay-per-view or whatever, he looked awful. Looked awful.
And here's another thing. If Ryan fights Raleigh, right, Ryan again would be favored. Would you be shocked if Raleigh knocked out Ryan?
No.
I wouldn't.
Oh.
Raleigh's a plus 175.
Well,
let's go in on that then. We're going in on that.
Raleigh's a plus 175? I'm all over that.
That tells
I'm
you right,
tell you right now, I'm all over that. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a couple people in the chat picking Keith Thurman over Zoo. I don't understand that either.
I mean,
those
are emotional picks.
They have to be, right?
Those are emotional.
They have to be. I mean, what else could it be? Why would you pick Keith Thurman over Zoo? Zoo's active. He's a bigger guy. He's stronger. He's faster.
Those are the same people that pick Andre over David Benavidez.
Yeah. Yeah. Thurman's getting nice. Yeah, I agree. You know, what about so Ryan Garcia was supposed to fight Raleigh next. That was his big thing. And then De La Hoya apparently said that Raleigh priced himself out of that fight. And now who's he fighting next?
They may go back to the table with Devin Haney.
Nobody. He's not fighting anybody right now. You know,
Devin Haney may have to fight Sandor Martin if they activate that mandatory.
Yeah, Ryan needs to get out of Golden Boy. Why doesn't Golden Boy just release him?
Because they can make money off him.
I mean, but he's really unhappy there. And what are you going to – I mean,
I know.
You know.
I know.
I don't know. Yeah, but he's the big star. I mean, he really is a big star. And I don't think there's any really – as far as fixing that relationship with Golden Boy, I mean, do you think it's possible?
No. I think it's unworkable.
Really?
I think it's unworkable.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, money gets a lot of things done, but in this instance, man, I mean, and I can understand him not wanting to, you know, De La Hoya not wanting to fight Raleigh because he's not in-house. But I think, you know what I think? I think he wants a guy in-house to beat Ryan Garcia. I really do. I think they'll try to get him beat that way. But I don't think they have anybody.
They got Ramirez. They got Barboza. And those could be good fights in the West Coast. I think, Ryan versus Ramirez could be a good fight in the West Coast. You can't. I don't think you can put that on pay per view.
No. They're going to have to if they want to pay.
They may put that on pay per view. There's a strong possibility they'll probably put that on pay per view.
You know. Well, he said he doesn't want to fight Garcia. Or Ramirez. Garcia says he doesn't want to fight Ramirez.
Garcia doesn't want to fight Ramirez.
Right.
But I can bet you dollars to donuts Ramirez. I think Barboza and Ramirez went over there because they want to fight Garcia. He's like the low hanging fruit. Like
right.
they can get paid really good money to fight him. And he's very beatable.
Yeah. But Ryan already said
– I would pick Ramirez over Garcia. And
would
I would
you
have,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
I think Ramirez gives Garcia fits on the – Ramirez is a good fighter, bro.
Yeah, oh, I know he is, but I don't know that he's –
He's a great inside. He's a great inside fighter.
See,
he's
I just think the
jab.
Speed. I just think the speed of Garcia is going to be too much for him.
I don't know. I mean, he went. I had that fight with Josh Taylor, even in rounds.
Yeah.
Ramirez and Josh Taylor, and the two knockdowns decided that fight on my card.
Yeah.
Same with the judges. So, I think I would pick Ramirez over Garcia, and I would feel comfortable doing it. Yeah.
Wow.
That's just me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not high on Ryan Garcia. Really not.
How dare you? Doing his best out there. What's the matter with you?
Well, sometimes your best isn't always good enough.
Stop.
I found that out in life so many times. Unfortunately. It's an uncomfortable truth that a lot of us have to deal with.
You're telling me. Let me tell you why.
Even she says that sometimes, but I don't talk about that.
All right, so let's talk about this. February 3rd in Las Vegas on DAZN. Conor Benn versus Peter Dobson, 12 rounds. Welterweights against Saturday. Austin Williams versus Conor Coyle, 10 rounds. Middleweights, this is on DAZN. Another subpar card.
The problem with DAZN, if you're an American boxing fan and you're not a hardcore, is there's just a lot of regional fights over there, and there's not enough everyone can get behind. Now, again, the Joshua – here's the beautiful thing that DAZN is doing. They are partnering up, like, because they have that – this because of what Turki Alashik did in Saudi.
Yeah.
And Frank and Eddie are working together. There's a lot of co-promoted events. You're able to buy pay-per-views either on ESPN Plus or DAZN, right? So they're in the mix in a lot of these fights. But, again – most of the great fights are pay-per-view that you're going to be watching over the zone. I like the Katie Taylor Chantel Cameron fight.
So
that's not a fight that you like.
No.
Bam Rodriguez versus Sonny Edwards. I like that. But these are not fights that mainstream American fights would gravitate towards.
Not even that. But my problem with the zone is that we have like a boxing channel now that does all the fights for $30 a month. You know, or 20 if you pay by the year. But I think it's like 30 month to month, right? I believe so.
Sure. Oh, I think it's 20 for us. It's 20 month to month.
I thought it was 30 month to month.
I think. What is the price? I'm so dumb. No, I pay 20 a month. I pay 20.
You
pay.
But you're grandfathered in, aren't you? But you pay for the whole year, right? You pay for the whole year.
I think it's 25 if you don't pay for the whole year.
Let me see here. Yeah, subscriptions.
Yeah, let me double check that.
$29.99 a month. If you have a monthly, a flexible path is $29, a flexible pass, excuse me.
Wow, they upped it to $29.99.
$30 a month. And then you have to cancel with 30 days notice. So basically what you would have to do.
Oh, my God.
Basically what you would have to do.
Okay.
Right. You would have to go and say, okay, I'm purchasing it, and then the very next day or the same day, cancel it for the following month so you don't get charged twice. 30 days?
What?
30 days is like unheard of. Nobody does that.
So I pay $225 a month, a year, excuse me. So I'm paying $1,875 a month. Did I pay for the whole year?
$20 a month. Yeah, $20 a month. And then the 12-month contract is $120 a year.
So...
Or no, I'm sorry, $240 a year, excuse me, $240 a year.
So if you pay for the whole year, you can save $11.24 a month.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's how they get you. Why?
And you know what that tells you? That people do not have, most people are dipping in and out, and they're going to punish you significantly.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
That's not a good business model.
No, it's never good when you punish somebody.
Who the fuck does that? Like, does Netflix do that? Do you want to bounce in, you know?
No. In 30 days? If I cancel Netflix, I'm canceled. They don't say you got to cancel 30 days ahead of time.
And here's another thing, bro. Here's another thing, right? You can't get a hold of anyone over there. Like, you can actually get a live body on the line on ESPN Plus, right?
Yep.
You can actually get a live body on the line for Hulu, Disney, right? for Netflix. You can talk to people. There's phone numbers. DAZN, they don't even reply. The only way you get your money back from DAZN if there's a problem with your event, and you have, and whether it be the quality of it or some type of billing issue, you have to dispute the charge on your credit card in order to get your money back. They will not refund your money.
You know, and
Netflix is going to be showing pay-per-view, Tony. They are.
Netflix is going to go that route too.
They just signed a deal with the WWE. And they're also going to be doing some boxing events, from I heard. Yeah,
JC says you can also talk to a hottie when you call Brazzers. I love that feature now on Brazzers. We can call and talk to them and everything. Oh, it's awesome, right?
It's family. It's a family.
So, I mean, yeah, like, so I wouldn't mind if it was 20 or 30 a month, okay? I wouldn't mind if there was no pay-per-view on it. That we're paying paying all this money a month, right? But then I got to pay $100 or $80 for your stupid pay-per-view. On top of all that, it's ridiculous, man. And it's some of the stuff that they're putting on this pay-per-view is not worthy. You know what I mean? It's not a pay-per-view card.
I pay more for boxing than I do for my car insurance, and I use my car a lot more.
Yeah, I believe
I use
it.
My car every day. Right.
I 100% believe it. 100% believe it.
I spend over $1,000 a year on boxing.
Yeah.
You know?
All the pay-per-views and everything, you think about, like, how much money we spend on pay-per-views and all that other good stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
On February 3rd in London, now this is on Peacock, so this is a little bit different here. Joshua Guazzi versus Dan Aziz, 12 rounds for the British light heavyweight title. So there you go.
Not on pay-per-view either.
Help me out with this one, B, because this is the following week. It's on February 8th. It's listed as February 8th. Okay. Teofimo Lopez versus Jermaine Ortiz for Lopez's WBO junior welterweight title.
Yeah.
Keyshawn Davis versus Jose Pedraza is a really good fight, by the way.
This is another card you're not paying $80.
Right. Right.
Again, this is why I make these statements. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right. But no, that's it, though. Like, it's on February 8th. That's on a Thursday, isn't it?
It is.
Why?
Yeah, they're trying, I guess what they're trying to do is they're trying to go back to the old ways, back in the day, like, this is way back when they used to show fights on the weekdays.
Yeah.
You had Tuesday night fights, you had Friday night fights. And even back when Jake LaMotta and you know, Sugar Ray Robinson and those guys were fighting, you had Monday, you fought Mondays and Tuesdays. I think Marvin Hagler and Sugar Ray Leonard, their fight was on a Tuesday as well.
Was it a Tuesday?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But, you know,
That's the old formula.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to play around with that. Because they've been doing that. Top Rank's been doing that a lot. They've been showing Tuesday and Thursday cards. So that's something that they've been doing. They've been doing recently, and I think they're trying to kind of see how that works for them. Maybe it's a winning formula, maybe it's not.
Right.
What else are people watching on Tuesdays and Thursdays? At least, like, on Saturdays, there's other sports you're competing with. Are you really? Well, I guess you're competing with football and stuff
right.
on Thursday. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But on the weekends, you're definitely competing with more sports. You're competing with college football, regular football. You got NBA games and stuff.
And NBA is like every day. I mean, you got NBA.
Yeah,
like
I guess
every
to
day.
Some degree, you're still going to be competing with sports. But I don't know. I don't know what the whole logic is, but we'll see.
Yeah. Naoya Inoue versus Luis Neri is set for May 6th at the Tokyo Dome.
Yep.
I know they were putting this fight together last time we talked about it. Now it is set May 6th at the Tokyo Dome. This is a good fight. This is a really, to me, this is a fun fight. I mean, you got to favor Inoue in this. Neri's been on a skid, you know, but I'll tell you what, man, Neri's got that power. That's the last thing to go. Listen, if he catches him, who knows? Who knows? Now, Inoue's a much better fighter. Inoue's a much better fighter all around, so he should win. But he's got that power, man. He's got that power.
Neri can punch. Let me ask you this. On paper, what's a more competitive fight? Inoue versus Neri or Thurman versus Zou?
Inoue versus Neri.
And you're not paying for it.
Right.
$74.99.
Right.
$99.
Right. We'll pay $6 for it or $10, whatever ESPN charges.
You can go all these fights. You've gone over the schedule.
Yeah.
And we've seen at least three cards that are just as good as this.
Yeah. Easy. Oh, for sure. For sure.
Right.
Tony Pugilistic Boy says a Super Bowl ticket is $10,000. He's right. It's $10,000.
Tony P, a man of your status doesn't have to worry about paying $10,000.
No. Absolutely,
I mean, you're doing,
not.
You're doing well over there from what I've heard. I looked up your net worth on celebritynetworth.com. You're doing well. Don't worry. You can afford that.
There you go. There you go. All right, let's go to the phones here. I believe it's 804. This is Corey, I believe. 804, you're live.
What's going on, y'all? What's going
on? Pick up, man. What do you like? What do you like, Nacho? You talking to the wheel here? Tell him about the picks last night. Tell him about all the picks I gave you last night and you cashed out on.
Man, I love boxing, man. Boxing is awesome, man.
This guy's been killing it, Eric.
Really?
He's been killing it. Ever since you've been making fun of him about Monday morning quarterback and picks,
yeah.
This guy screenshots all his he screenshots all his bets, and I get them all throughout.
I love it.
These are my bets. I'm going to start emailing you these picks, Eric,
that's
so
awesome.
You can see this guy is legit. Go ahead, Eric.
Yo, yeah, man. So what's some awesome fights, man? I want to first say thanks, man. Y'all having an awesome show today, man. Awesome show for sure, man. Y'all keep it up, man, for sure. But yeah, man, Collazo fight earlier today, man. I mean, yesterday was awesome, man. You know, and I'm gonna tell you guys, man. When you're putting your money up, man, you don't always have to know the fighters that you're putting your money up to. I would advise you to know the fighters, but you know, I've never seen Collazo in my life, and you know, I put money on him. You know what I mean? But I've seen the strength of schedule.
The betting public, Corey, to bet on people that they've never seen before. That's not something you want to give to the betting public. Tell them to fucking just friggin' take a shot at the dark here without doing research.
Right. Yeah, don't do any research. Just put $500 on this guy.
So I did about an hour research, man. Just going through, you know, both guys' resumes. You know, I seen that Collazo was only 8-0 with 6 knockouts, but he's in there real tough. They put him in there real tough early. And out of those six knockouts, he fought a guy that was, you know, had a better resume than the guy he was fighting last night. And I don't know, I just thought that the guy that he was fighting last night was a little flat-footed. And he had a split decision with a guy with almost a losing record. So I was just like, man, this guy's going to obliterate this guy. This guy, Collazo, is going to obliterate him when he goes in there. And I just, you know, I really just threw it out there. I mean, I put $100 on, you know, Collazo winning rounds 1 through 3. He won in round 3 with 15 seconds to go. You want to talk about a nail biter. You know what I mean? And I was just in the house just like, wow, man, I was just so happy, man, when he knocked him out. And I had two other picks for Collazo to win in under 6.
What was the payoff? What was the payoff?
The payout altogether was like 14-10. Because I put a couple bets on Collazo, and then I put a couple bets on McGill when we got off the phone, Beats. I seen how round 1 was going. To switch to the McGill fight, I seen how round 1 was going versus John Ryder, and he was getting touched up with the 1-2 flush, you know. And I was just like, Ryder cannot get out of the way of the 1-2, man, at all. I mean, it was just right there all night long, man. And when you have that much success that early, it's only going to cause disruption later in the fight. And I thought it was going to end a lot sooner than it did. It wound up ending in, I think, round 9. Ryder was down a couple times, but I just picked Munguia to win by knockout. I didn't pick any round or anything like that. I just had a feeling he was going to get the knockout because I think he hurt Ryder in round one. And after that, the live betting was still McGill plus 185. You'd be a fool not to do it. Writing on the wall, John Ryder definitely didn't have a good camp. Can you guys hear me?
I mean, you gotta tell everyone what the total payout was for all these bets. You gotta stop bragging, man. When you win, you gotta brag. You gotta be boisterous when you win. You gotta show all these haters in the chat that call you Monday morning quarterback and all this. Show them that you're actually putting money on the line here when these guys are just sitting there making these ridiculous picks for no reason at all. You have significance in significance. You have meat on the bones there. You have your skin in the game. Let these frauds in the chat know you're cashing in. You're cashing in.
Hey, man. We good over here, man. We did good over here. It was a great
Saturday.
Christ
paying for his
awesome
kids.
Saturday.
He's paying for his kids' clothes with these bets. What are you guys doing?
Where are they going to college at?
I mean, if he keeps up at this pace, he's going to have a vacation longer pretty soon. I mean, Christ.
All right, Corey, we're going to get running, my friend.
A lot of fans.
Oh, there he goes. Hey, let's see here. We have Big Texas. Big Texas on the line, babe. You're muted. You're muted again.
In the morning, this guy's up too? I can't dodge a bullet with this guy?
He's up too, yep.
Oh, God.
806, you're live. Yes.
How's everybody doing? How y'all doing, guys?
We're doing good. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's a good morning. I'm just sitting here in my lingerie, drinking coffee, listening to Beat Sexy Voice. Couldn't ask for anything more. It's been a good morning. I'm here ready to sing a song. I'm ready to sing a song. I hope everybody enjoys it. The important thing is that Steve enjoys it, and I put all my heart into it. So here we go. I hope y'all are ready.
Yes.
Freak me, baby. Freak me, baby. Babe, I want to freak with you. I want to freak you up and down until you say stop. Babe, I want to freak you all night long.
Oh. That was good. That was good. The soulful sounds of Big Texas. Babe, you get so uncomfortable during these segments. Why? You can come back on. He's off now.
People who are born round will never die square. And I'll just leave it at that.
All right, Beav. The AFC and NFC championship games are today. Does your brother have any picks? Did you get them?
I'm going to try and text him right now.
Not on.
See if I can get the picks. I'm sorry.
Who do you think wins? Who do you think wins? You're not a big football guy, though, are you?
I'm not really a big football fan.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say. I don't follow it till like the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Niners. We got Shoeshine going with the Niners. Ravens and the Niners. That seems to be the smart money. But I'm taking the Lions. I think the Lions are beating them.
Okay.
I think it's going to be the Lions and the Ravens.
Okay.
I know Montero's pulling for the Lions as well. Both Detroit guys, so we got to represent.
So I just text my brother, see what he says.
Yeah, we'll see what he says. He picked Kansas City last week, and I didn't think Kansas City was going to beat Buffalo.
Yeah.
That was a good pick. That was a good pick. I loved it last week. He was like, who did you pick? And I said, Kansas City. Or I said, Buffalo. He said, rip your ticket up.
it's like a dog tail when they're at the dog track, and then Mush picks the horse that they all pick, and then they all just start walking out ripping their tickets. That's hilarious.
Ah, that's great. Enrique V, the Lions. That's right. That's right. A lot of people picking the Niners, though.
Is the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year? Is it the Chiefs?
I would say the Ravens.
The Ravens.
I would
okay.
say the Ravens. Yeah, the Ravens are going to be favored over the Chiefs. And the Niners are going to be favored. But I'll tell you what, you go back a couple weeks ago when they went in there, Baltimore played the Niners in San Francisco and just demolished them. I mean, just walked completely over them. That was a healthy Niners team. It was a healthy – they just dominated that game.
Okay.
So I would think that the Ravens – have to be favored to win everything here.
So when he texts me back, I'll just text you because –
Yeah, just text me. Just text me.
He's probably in the poker room right now.
Is that right? He's at the casino?
He's a really good poker player, my brother.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's really good. He makes decent money. I see the wads of cash he comes with or comes home with.
The wads of cash. He comes in with a roll. He comes in with a roll, you know.
Looks in the house with a gangster roll, man. I actually like that Blasi Aziz fight next week.
That's not a bad fight.
I'll be watching that. I favor Blasi there, but it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I think so too. There you go. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on X at ringside73. Guys, we will see you next week.